We're up to Gemara Makos, Daf Hei Amud Beis, the Mishnah at the bottom of the page.
It's an extension.
The Torah says, "Al pishnayim yumata met." The witness gets executed based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Imit kem daidut bishnayim lama pereta ketuv bishlosha. If the testimony is validated with two witnesses, why did the verse single out three as well? Why did it have to specify that two or three? You told me two are accepted. Ela lakish, but the pasuk came to equate, to show us a correlation between shnayim l'shlosha, two and three. Ma shlosha mezimin tashnayim, af shashnayim yazomu et ha-gimel. Just as two, three witnesses can bring the death penalty on two witnesses by testifying that they are edim zomimin, so two witnesses can make three witnesses into edim zomimin. Uminayin afilu mea, how do you know even 100? Two can stand against 100. Tamud lomar edim. That's why the Torah says that pishnayim edim o shlosha edim. The word edim comes to encompass any number. I don't look at the number of witnesses, I look at the testimony. And once I have two witnesses, that's a valid testimony. So two can testify against as many as there are on the other side because theirs is valid testimony.
How I mean is that two wouldn't be good enough to stand against someone?
Yeah. I would think we go after what the Gemara calls rov de'ot. Go by the majority of opinions. There's a logic to that. You have three witnesses here and two there. Shouldn't three outweigh two? No, the Torah teaches us a new concept of edut. If this were a question of ne'emanut, trustworthiness, so then I say, the more the better. But if it's a question of edut, so the Torah taught me that edut, trei kemeya, two equal 100. Once I have valid testimony, I don't look at how many witnesses are actually testifying. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, just as two don't get executed unless both of them become edim zomimin, af shelosha ina neragin ad sheyiyu shelostam zomimin. So two, three would not get executed until all three become zomimin. Uminayin afilu meya. How do I know that even if there are 100 witnesses, all of them have to become edim zomimim in order to be punished? Talmud lomar edim, that's what the word edim teaches me. That they all unify to one testimony, and they will only be punished if all of them are found to be edim zomimim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva, who was the Rebbe of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he says, lo bash li shila kel lela lachmir. I didn't need the Torah to tell me that two could make three into edim zomimim. Once two are believable in testimony, so then I know they can make the three into edim zomimim. And I also understand that edim zomimim is contingent on all of them being found to be zomimim because they all unified in this testimony. The Torah says, v'hinei eid sheker ha'eid, when it becomes clarified that the testimony was false testimony. So I understand the testimony as a whole, including all its components, all the witnesses, have to be found false in order for them to be punished. They all have to be edim zomimin. So then why does the Torah delineate a situation where there are three witnesses? The Torah came to be stringent on the third. A person shouldn't think, hey, they could have done it without me. What did I do? So what if I joined the testimony? But they would have been believed as two. The Torah came to single out a scenario where there are three witnesses to point out how stringent we are against even the third witness for lying. And the Torah wanted to stress that even in such a scenario, he will get the same punishment as them. The Torah was saying, don't think, hey, they could have sinned without me, so what did I do so I was a third witness? No. They will be punished, and you will be punished with them. Now Rabbi Akiva continues, And if this is how stringent the pasuk was to punish those who are adjuncts to sinners, as though they were the sinners themselves, how much more so will the Torah pay good wages to those who are adjuncts to performers of mitzvah, as though they themselves were the performers of mitzvah?
The way you know who's the third one is by chronological order?
Oh, that's a good question, I guess. I guess that's what we'd say. Uma shenayim nimtza achad men karov pasul edutan betela. And just as two witnesses, if one of them is found to be a relative, or he is found to be a person that is not trusted as a witness, so then the complete testimony is annulled, af shlosha, so to three witnesses who come as one unit, nimtza achad men karov pasul edutan betela. If one of them is found to be a relative or disqualified for giving testimony, then the whole testimony is disqualified. How do I know that even if they are 100 witnesses, if one of them is disqualified, then the complete testimony is thrown out of court? Talmud lomar edim. That's why the Torah said edim. That's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, shnayim o shlosha is to teach me that the third gets punished like the two. Why does it say edim to tell me that even in 100, one disqualifies the rest? Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafto, who was another disciple of Rabbi Akiva. He says, Bame devarim amurim, and whenever we have the words, Bame devarim amurim, we have to wonder, is he coming to argue on the previous opinion or to quantify it? He's saying, when do I say what was previously said? Is he explaining or is he quantifying and really giving his own opinion? Bame devarim amurim, when do we say that? B'dinei nefashot, when we're dealing with a case of a life sentence, a question of a death penalty. Aval b'dinei mamonot itkem ha'idut bashar. But if the testimony is regarding monetary matters, so then I don't disqualify all the witnesses. I say we will accept the remaining witnesses to give testimony. So the logic here is as follows. The Torah tells us, v'hitzilu ha'eda. It is the responsibility of the eda, it is the responsibility of the congregation to save a person from the death penalty. Meaning if we have a choice which way to go, we're always going to opt for not administering the death penalty. So that's number one. It's a biblical guideline, v'hitzilu ha'eda. Next. I have this derivation of edim. So, how do you know from the words al pishnayim edim o shlosha edim yumat hamet? How do you know what to extrapolate? We just saw three opinions. So Rabbi Yossi says, I say, okay, I'm looking to find room of derivation in the verse to disqualify the testimony that would give him the death penalty. So when it comes to the death penalty, I'll learn this pasuk al pishnayim edim o shlosha edim to tell me, even if there are 100 witnesses, if one is disqualified, I will disqualify all of them. But that's specific to death penalty. What about monetary matters? So I have no reason to learn the pasuk's talking about that. So that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Now this is based on Rashi. This idea that v'itzilu ha'eda teaches me a direction of derivation is a chiddush, but it's not Rashi's chiddush. It's a Gemara. The Gemara tells us that logic, but it's a huge chiddush that the pasuk will guide me in how to derive. It's not only logic guiding me; I have a certain vetted interest in arriving at a lenient conclusion when it comes to the death penalty.
That's a good explanation. I mean, why else would we make the chiddush?
Okay, fine. Rebbe Omer, echad dinei mamonot ve'echad dinei nefashot. Rebbe says, I don't agree with Rabbi Yossi. There's no distinction between monetary matters or death penalty. either way, if one of them was disqualified, the complete testimony is disqualified. Ve'ematai. When is all this so? Bizman shetrubein. When they were warned. Aval bizman sheloy trubein. But if they didn't warn together, then they don't unite in testimony. Because if they weren't witnesses together, if they together did not warn the guy, don't do this or you'll get the death penalty, so then they don't become united in testimony. Just because they witnessed the crime together doesn't unite them in testimony. It has to be that they united in warning the person, hey, don't do this, because if you do, you'll get the death penalty. And then they come and testify together. But otherwise, they don't unite in testimony, because if you'll just say that people unite in testimony because they witnessed the crime together, then mayasu shnei achim echad sharag tanefesh. Let's say there are 50 people standing here. Two of them are brothers. They saw a murder. So now the two cannot testify because they're brothers. Relatives can't testify. So now, that's it. You disqualified the testimony. What do you say? You say, no, one of them could testify. They can't testify together. So one of them will go with another witness and testify. You can't force the people to unite as one body of testimony just because they witnessed it together. So we will expand on this Bezat Shem next time. The Gemara is going to go into this now. What defines when do they become one kat, one group, one body of testimony, and when can they divide? So that, Bezat Shem, we'll see in the Gemara.